Areena.
Hello and welcome to All Points North. I'm Zena Iovino. It's almost the darkest time of the year. The days are short, the sky is drizzly, and here in Helsinki, well, it feels like the sun has taken a holiday of its own. And in moments like this, I catch myself wondering, is this the good life? I know I'm not alone. A lot of us are trying to figure out what a good life really means. While working on one of these dark mornings, I was scrolling through the news when one story in particular stopped me in my tracks. Apparently, parts of Finland are showing potential as blue zones. Yes, Finland, a country where half the year is spent bundled up and chasing vitamin D. This week, we reported that even southern Finland is seeing less than 6 hours of daylight right now. If you're not familiar with the term, blue zones are regions of the world where people live longer, healthier lives and age better than almost anywhere else. In other words, they are living the good life. You've probably heard the phrase blue zones tossed around like some kind of shortcut to a longer life. But today there's a growing body of scientific research looking at how certain communities consistently produce people who live past 100. They're still active, engaged, and going about their daily lives. We're talking about places like Okinawa in Japan and Sardinia off the coast of Italy. These regions have inspired books, diets, documentaries, and of course, an entire wave of social media wellness gurus claiming to have cracked the code to longevity. And now, Finland might be joining that conversation. This is quite the break from what we cover in the news. For starters, we've recently reported that 1 in 4 adults in Finland is significantly obese. Last year, a quarter of adults here had a body mass index of 30 or higher. That kind of BMI is the internationally accepted threshold for health risk obesity. But, according to new research from Åbo Akademi University, Swedish-speaking Ostrobothnia is emerging as a potential blue zone. It stands out with its long life expectancy, good overall health, and a lifestyle that's surprisingly similar to those in the world's most famous longevity hotspots, which are much warmer and sunnier places than Western Finland. Åland, on the other hand, despite having the highest life expectancy in Finland and some of the best health markers, doesn't quite fit the classic blue zone lifestyle profile. Aside from offering its beautiful island landscape in the Finnish archipelago, Åland seems to miss several of the key principles that define blue zone regions, like a population that stays put. So what exactly makes a blue zone? At its core, it's a geographical area where an unusually large number of people live much longer than average. Last year, Statistics Finland reported that newborn boys can expect lifespans of just over 79 and a half years, and girls have life expectancies of nearly 85. That's actually an all-time high for Finland. Åland leads, with boys at 81.4 and girls at 86.1 years. The idea of blue zones began purely as demographic research, just numbers and lifespans, but over time it evolved. Today, blue zone studies also examine the way people live, what they eat, how active they are, and the strength of their social ties, and whether they feel a sense of purpose. These communities tend to share traits like eating simple, healthy foods, getting regular, moderate exercise, and being a part of tight-knit social circles. Basically, they have a reason to get out of bed every morning. A little corner of Finland just might belong on that map, too. Here's Sara Åkerman. She's a principal investigator of the Nordic Blue Zone Project at Åbo Akademi University in Vasa. She told me that the concept is set out on the likelihood of a newborn reaching 100.
A blue zone lifestyle is a quite
broad concept, and it's about moving naturally throughout the day, not necessarily going to these advanced aerobics, gymnastics, or anything like that. It's more of an idea that you are performing moderately demanding activity throughout the day. It's also about eating wisely. Here there are some differences in literature what that exactly means. Is it eating plant-based food, or is it more about eating locally produced foods, but still eating wisely and not too much. And then about avoiding stress and getting plenty of sleep, strong family ties and community support, respecting the planet and experiencing a purpose in life, and then also some environmental features that you are also a part of the community, and the lack of ageism and that people appreciate older adults. So it's not just an individual lifestyle, but something that should represent a specific community and an idea about a flourishing community where people have strong social ties and also across generations.
It's been said that many of these ingredients for a long life are actually shaped by forces far bigger than any one person. Things like the environment, government policies, and how wealth is distributed across a society. In other words, the foundations for a population's longevity are often built long before people are even born. But it does raise a question. For those of us who are privileged enough to live in places with good healthcare, clean air, safe streets, and a social safety net, are there ways to go even further? Are there super habits we can adopt or better lifestyle choices we can make that actually add more years or at least more quality to the time we have left in this mortal coil?
We know that among the Swedish speakers who are more located on the western coast, there is this high levels of social capital where, I mean, the minority status can be beneficial in that sense that it boosts social ties and connections. And in Swedish-speaking Ostrobotnia, it was more common to be born in the same area as they were living in old age. And maybe this also has an effect on the adherence to a holistic lifestyle.
Åkerman also talked about how countries can guide their people toward better eating. Taxes are one tool.
I think that the tax systems definitely can do a lot for improving health and when it comes to food with taxation. And I think it's quite obvious that it is indeed through taxation that we have gotten down the smoking rates in Finland. So I think it's very obvious that you can influence behaviors and choices with taxation and making healthier choices more possible and available to all. And apart from food, I think it's also so important to organize these low threshold exercise opportunities. Like in Vasa, we have actually quite a lot for families where you can go for free on Saturdays and Sundays to exercise the whole family together.
And there we heard from postdoctoral researcher Sara Åkerman. The Blue Zones in the Nordics project will run until the end of next June. But I still wanted to know, what can we do as individuals to live better? So I reached out to Anna-Kaisa Manalova. She is a registered dietitian in Finland and the United States. Like Åkerman, she says a lot of the good life hinges on community.
I feel like Finnish people, even though there is sort of community, the community is very like small and it doesn't maybe open up to a lot of other people. I mean, this is maybe partially also my own personal experience, having lived in the States where everybody's really open and welcoming. And in Finland, maybe those are kind of more hidden, those community pockets. You know, community is one of those blue zone factors.
So you've worked as a nutritionist in the US as well as in Finland. Here in Finland, what are some of the key areas you have to work with people when it comes to improving their eating habits?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's pretty much the same as in the States. We just don't eat enough fruit and vegetables. It's just right across the board, I see that. And through that, not enough fiber, just coming up with ways to increase fiber. And fruits and vegetables and fiber from whole grains, for example, we don't eat any beans, basically. A Finnish diet just doesn't know beans, and it's not very rich in seeds and nuts either. So then we don't have as many fiber sources. So together with the fruits and vegetables, with their polyphenols and then those fibers, they all feed your gut microbes, which are also very important in terms of longevity, in terms of chronic illness risk and all that. So I feel like the first thing is always, okay, where is your fiber coming from? It's not enough. Let's increase fruits and vegetables. Let's get a little bit more variety going. And unfortunately, this is the same problem in Finland as it is in the States. And it would be really nice to see a little bit more sort of courage to try new vegetables, new fruit, you know, beans perhaps every week a little bit, but we are not very close to that, I'm afraid.
But Finland has ruisleipä, rye bread. Hasn't this been a traditional source of fiber? At least I'm thinking to when I'm in the US, that's one thing I really miss from Finland is the real bread.
Me too. Every time I'm in the States, I bring my own rye bread with me. And that's the one nice thing about the Finnish diet culture, that rye bread is, it's you're certain to get a whole grain bread in the form of rye bread. It has a lot of fiber, but studies are also showing we're not eating enough whole grains either. So it's not going to kind of rescue the whole diet to have a few pieces of rye bread when you need 25, 30, however many grams it is for you of fiber every day. So it helps, but it's not gonna rescue the whole diet.
Well, we are on the doorstep of this big eating festival. Christmas is almost here. What are some ways that people can make their Christmas dinners a little bit healthier?
You know, I love this question because I think there's a lot of lost potential in our Finnish Christmas dinner or lunch or whatever you want to call it, the big meal. Because if you start thinking about all the traditional foods, there's a lot of variety. Just take rosoli, for example, that salad that I started making maybe like 5 years ago when I came back to Finland. I found that, for example, rosoli is quite tasty, even without the whipped cream on top. But just think about it. You have beetroot in it, carrot in it, pickle in it, apple in it. So there's a lot of different kinds of fruits and vegetables there already. And, you know, we didn't mention this before, but variety in diet is also super important for your gut microbes. So in this salad, you already have four or five different plant foods that are helping you with that variety and feeding your gut microbes, and beetroot and apples having also antioxidants, obviously carrots too, but antioxidants also feed those gut microbes. But we have that. Then we have, you know, carrot casserole. There's sweet or rutabaga casserole, however you want to call it. There's these vegetable dishes, vegetarian dishes that also can help make that Christmas meal more plant-based, like the Blue Zones recommend. We do have fish that is traditional for the Christmas table, maybe a little salty fish, but in any case, this fish is good for health. And one thing, I don't know how many people make this amazing plum pudding for dessert on Christmas. You know, it's just prunes that are boiled. There's no added sugar in the pudding itself, and then you put a little bit of whipped cream to, you know, make it even more amazing tasting. But this is an amazing fruit dessert that gives you a lot of really nice fiber. And they say that prunes are really great for bone health too. So you have a lot of really amazing Christmas dishes that we, I think we, a lot of us forget about. It's not just about Christmas, the star pastries or chocolate or the ham. There's a lot of other things too.
Nutritionist Anna-Kaisa Manalova there, talking about the small steps on the path to better health. I also chatted with the National Nutrition Council, their division of the Finnish Food Authority. That's the agency that issued new nutritional guidelines about a year ago. Those new recommendations advise people to eat less meat, more vegetables, and to cut down on coffee or even eliminate alcohol. Now, 1 year on, Finns are in fact buying less meat and having more tofu. Here's the Nutrition Council's Satu Jyväkorpi explaining what people still might need to fix in their diets.
So almost everybody is getting too much salt. It's actually very difficult to reach it because even if you wouldn't add salt to your food, many foods that you buy are already, they have lots of salt, like for example, bread and cheese and many times even different meats or plant-based alternative, they have salt in it.
What would be one easy fix that people could do in their diets that would make a big impact in becoming healthier? If you had to pick just one thing.
Well, for example, if you could cut your salt intake, that would be very important. But even though you said one thing, I'm going to say a few other things also. And you could choose all your grain products as whole grain. For example, instead of eating white bread or white rice, you could eat whole grain alternatives and also increase the intake of fruits and vegetables would be very good.
So it turns out the road to health and longevity isn't exactly rocket science, and Jyväkorpi reminded me of that. My takeaway was that people seem to be paying close attention to Finland's new nutrition guidelines. The country's biggest grocery retailer, S Group, has noticed some pretty big changes in people's shopping habits over the past year. Fresh produce sales are up by 4% compared to last year, with cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers, and lettuce all seeing a bump. In fact, an S Group survey found that some people are even swapping out the cold cuts in their sandwiches and replacing them with veggies. And it's not just the vegetables getting the love. Sales of bananas, apples, and citrus fruits have also jumped significantly compared to a year ago. So maybe we're already taking small steps towards healthier, longer lives, one meal at a time. But before we move on, I want to highlight something from our earlier reporting that adds another layer to this whole conversation about health and longevity. It turns out that older immigrants in Finland are actually healthier than seniors born here. According to research from the universities of Helsinki and Tampere, people born abroad have lower mortality rates from cancer, central nervous system diseases, cardiovascular issues, respiratory illnesses, and digestive system diseases compared to those born in Finland. One of the most striking findings was this: alcohol-related problems are a major cause of mortality among people born in Finland. It's a reminder that lifestyle, culture, and habits can shape health in ways we might not always expect.
You can join the conversation too. We want to hear what's on your mind. Just leave us a voice note or text on WhatsApp. Our number is +358 44 421 0909.
And now for a quick roundup of what has been making the headlines in Finland this week. Yle's investigative unit MOT found that educational agents are luring foreign students to Finland with false promises, leaving many to face poverty. Here's Yle News reporter Matthew Schilke.
Anyone honest about life in Finland will tell you that getting a job here now is very, very difficult, especially for non-native Finnish speakers. But that's not what some agents have been telling prospective international students when they try to lure them to Finland.
Yes, the happiest country in the world, and literally one of the best choices for Indian students in 2025.
We're your bridge between the world of academia and Finland's top-tier educational establishments.
Education, that is super affordable. Don't stress.
Yle's investigative journalist team, MOT, revealed the extent education agents go to recruit students from countries like India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and Nepal. But who exactly are these agents? Many universities of applied sciences in Finland work with local agents to recruit more students from countries in Asia and Africa, for example. In turn, the agents get a commission of around 1,000 euros for each student that they recruit to Finland. They can also charge the student separately for finding them a study place and handling the paperwork. Working with an Indian journalist, Ule's investigative unit hired local assistants to call Indian and Bangladeshi education agents.
Like it, how would you say, like it like the referral for them students to get like a job who don't know English?
You can get a job if there is no communication. But if there is communication, then they require Finnish.
How important would you say, like, if Finnish for her to try to, like, do you know it?
Not at all. Not at all.
All these agents were partners with universities of applied sciences in Finland. The agents provided the callers with false and misleading information, including that jobs in Finland are easy to find and that a student can survive on a part-time income. These students need to pay around 10,000 euros a year on tuition, as well as living expenses, so they often end up in debt by the time they arrive in Finland. And some even rely on food handouts from churches and local charities just to survive. The universities were surprised to hear about this, and are reviewing their relationships. But students already in Finland have advice for those looking to study here. Don't believe everything these agents tell you.
The magazine Political named Finnish President Alexander Stubb among Europe's most influential figures. It dubbed him the caddy and Donald Trump's interpreter, following his successful golf course diplomacy with the 47th U.S. president. Police warn that boys are increasingly being blackmailed with sexually explicit media, making up over 90% of victims as extortion cases rise sharply in recent years. Public Health Authority THL says workplaces should start offering bright light therapy to help employees cope with the mental and physical strain of winter darkness. Seasonal winter depressive symptoms affect up to 25% of people in Finland. A new study finds that city kids in Finland are now fitter than their countryside peers. The results come from the latest MOVE initiative, which also shows children's overall fitness levels improving for the third year in a row. The weekend is almost here, so what better time to explore what's on Yle's streaming platform, Areena? This week, my tip, in line with the week's Nordic theme, is a documentary called Hidden Scandinavia, which explores untouched nature in this part of the world. And that really is all the time we have for today. Thanks to Katri Koivula for putting the show together and to you for listening to and supporting All Points North. We'll be back again soon. Bye for now.